From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 16th day of July, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. We'll take up the agricultural futures markets with him. And then later in the program, Amy Rochkis from Farm Bureau will be here with a commentary. And as we close out this edition, we'll talk with Mike Sola, University of Illinois weather forecaster. He'll have a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather and those cool temperatures that are coming across the Midwest. It all comes up right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
In Chicago on this Thursday afternoon, futures settled lower in the corn and the soybean pit as well as the wheat pit. September futures in the wheat were down penny and a half at 5.33 and a quarter. December at 5.59 and a half, down two. And the March contract at 5.77 and a half, 2 cents lower. In Kansas City, September at 5.59 and a half for the hard red, down 1 cent. Corn futures down 12 and three quarters in the nearby September. A settlement price at 3.16 and three quarters. December at $3.25 and a quarter, down 12 and one quarter. And the March corn at 3.39 and a quarter, 11 and three quarters lower. May futures at 3.48 and three quarters, down 11 and three quarters. And July contract at 3.57 and three quarters, down 11 and three quarters. August soybean futures today, $9.76, down 44 and a half cents. September futures at 9.16, 34 and a half lower. November beans at $8.90, down 14 and a half. January at 8.98, down 14 and one quarter. And the March contract at 9.04 and a half, down 11 and three quarters. May contract for 2010 at $9.09 in the soybeans, down 8.5 cents. August meal at $309, $17.40 lower. August soybean oil at $33.80, down 32 cents. August live cattle futures, 67.5 cents higher at $85.60. August feeders at $103.90, 85 cents higher. And the August lean hogs, $65.22.5, up $1.20 on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. August crude oil futures, $62.02 a barrel, up 48 cents on the settlement price. August ethanol at $1.51, 9 tenths of a cent higher. Natural gas at $3.64 and 8 tenths, up 36 and a half cents. The RBOB at $1.71 and 3 tenths, 4 tenths of a cent higher. Heating oil, that's diesel fuel, up a penny and a half at $1.59 and 7 tenths. And the propane, 74 and a tenth of a cent, up 1 and 8 tenths of a cent for the day. Gold futures at 9.35 and 10 cents, down $4 on the afternoon for a settlement price. The Dow now at 86.92 is up 76 points. The dollar at 79.21 is down 0.10 for the day. And the CRB index at 240.95 is up 7.44 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It says tonight, in northern and west central Illinois, should be mostly cloudy, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. In east central Illinois and northern and west central Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy, scattered showers, some isolated thunderstorms. They'll arrive late. Elsewhere, partly cloudy, lows will range from 55 in northwestern Illinois to 66 in the far southern part of Illinois. Tomorrow in the south, cloudy, showers early, then they'll become partly sunny. Elsewhere, mostly sunny tomorrow. Early, then increasing cloudiness with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Highs tomorrow will range from 68, that's right, 68 degrees in far northwestern Illinois, to 82 in the deep southern parts of Indiana. The extended forecast says temperatures will remain below average for the second half of July. The cool temps will push crop development to below normal midsummer rates and may cause some concern, unless a warmer weather pattern, of course, evolves before the start of the fall harvest. We'll have more on the agricultural weather forecast with our own Mike Sola when we talk to him at the bottom of this hour. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
On this Thursday afternoon, time to check in on the agricultural futures markets. And from ADM and Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois, is Dan Zwicker today on the phone with us. How are you this afternoon, Dan?
Doing fine, Todd.
Tell me about this marketplace. Which chart do you want to start with?
Well, I guess we'll start with December corn.
Okay.
There's not a whole lot of positive elements that I could probably put on a spin on this chart, but I do see some hope that we might be nearing at least a short-term bottom. The first observation I notice, you can kind of look at the last 2 weeks, and we've kind of been in a broadening pattern, which means that the highs are getting higher and the lows are getting lower. So we kind of have what we call as a reverse triangle, or some people refer to it as a broadening bottom-type formation. So, and then I take a look at the 9-day RSI, and I look at the 14-day stochastics, and it does with today's move to new lows for the move down here today, it kind of looks like maybe some of these technical momentums indicators may be tracing out as something what we refer to as a bullish divergence. That's the first thing you kind of look for when you're maybe trying to put in some kind of bottom or top in the market, depending upon which way you're looking at it. So I do think that there's some signs here that we might be nearing a short-term bottom of some kind. I don't want to give anybody any false hopes that we're going to turn around and go right back up again, but I do think the steep decline that we've basically had here through the month of July could be running out of a little bit of momentum, even though today was a hard down day. I mean, the formation does suggest that we could be slowing. The other thing is that the corn market does follow a 20-week cycle, kind of from low to low. It can be, it unfolds a couple different ways, a couple tens, maybe three sixes, or a couple sixes and a ten, whatever. I kind of view that we're in a 6-week pattern, and this is week 12 from that mid-April low. So I do think we're kind of in a window here to kind of maybe put in kind of what I would call as a 6-week cycle low that would correspond with the low that we kind of had here toward the end of May.
And are there fundamental reasons, in your opinion, to be where we are at this point?
Well, the fundamental reason is that once you get a crop planted, once you put some favorable weather to it, the crop conditions look good. And July is one of those months that if you have generally favorable weather, it is very hard to get the market to do anything but go down. And when USDA released that high-end acreage estimate, people begin to multiply that harvested number by yields, and as weather has continued to be generally favorable, people are ratcheting up that yield expectation and adding that to last week's supply-demand ending stocks number, and, you know, you're getting a lot of people talking in the trade about a 2 billion bushel carryout, and if that is the case, the market needs to probably go down and find some demand.
Well, this really has put the American farmer, the American corn farmer, Midwestern corn and soybean farmer, in a bit of a trap where they've got awfully high-priced inputs on this particular crop, probably haven't priced out enough of it or any of it at all. What do they do?
It's a good question, and I wish I had a good answer for you because I get asked that all the time. Well, I think at the moment you just have to kind of stay put. I don't think it's time to panic on new crop yet, especially when I look at the oversold nature of the market, and it's not uncommon seasonally for a market to hammer down during July. Now, a lot of times when you do this, the market will maybe kind of put in some kind of low by end of the month. Then we start tracking sideways as we go on into the August crop report. And then once we get the August crop report behind us, provided it's not a shocker, then we begin to start looking toward demand to start coming in the market, because we went through the season of growing the supply. So then the market then will turn around and focus on, okay, we've got the supply, now, you know, do we have the demand to eat it up? And I think the market, once the market starts focusing on demand, and I can be generally positive toward demand, that then the market can maybe begin to show some recoveries as we go into the fall. But we'll have to take one week at a time, see how big this crop actually gets. The market nowadays has a very strong tendency to price in the best of conditions very quickly and the worst of conditions very quickly, and so it overdoes it. And my guess is that we're probably going to overdo it on the downside for now, right in here.
Historically, when we're below, and I guess I'll use the crop insurance numbers at this point, it seems, if I remember this correctly, historically when we're below, it used to be the LDP number, but let's talk about the crop insurance number. When we get below that number, we bottom out early in the season, maybe pre-harvest, and then start to trek higher as we move through harvest. Do you think that might be the case this year?
Well, it depends upon how you look at the historical perspective. I mean,
well, short term.
Hopefully, we're not in the LDP days like we were a few years ago. But I mean, back when we were in those days, I mean, there was the incentive was to move old crop inventory into the marketplace and take your LDP and clean out your bin. So when you started combine and you had empty bins. Nowadays, well, you know, like I said, hopefully we're not there, but we're somewhere in here, farmers are going to need to clean out their bins, elevators are going to want to clean out their bins, or everybody's going to have to get re-up for another round of storage, commercial storage charges. And I think that's where the problem comes in, is that we've got such a large carryover this year. Now, even though the crop's going to be somewhat later than maybe what we were expecting when we were starting to plant it back in April, we're going to have a logistics problem. It's going to be very difficult to handle a large, just old crop corn around and then a new crop corn coming at us. And I look for a very slow harvest. I think harvest could go very slow because I don't know if the elevator systems throughout the Midwest are going to be able to handle it, holding on to this old crop supply.
That, and if it's late and wet, farmers will want to leave it in the field as long as they possibly can, I would think.
Well, true. Hopefully we don't. It won't be an adverse harvest. We had enough of that wet.
Well, I meant
cold.
Late in the crop wet, not late in the weather wet.
But
that would be worse.
That's the way, I can't give everybody too much optimism, at least at the moment, but I do see, a glimmer of hope that we could be nearing a short-term bottom. And once we do have a short-term bottom, then we at least have a chance at a recovery rally. And for those that maybe have some old crop corn inventory still around, we'll have to kind of look at that opportunity to kind of take that. Short-term, I think we're probably now going to get down to the point where corn will find support on the even 20s, like $3.20, then $3 is about every 20 cents. Corn kind of finds support or resistance, and I think that's probably where we're at right now. We're at 325 on D's corn. My guess is that 320 is probably going to offer some pretty good support.
And then on the bean market, we closed beans below $9 again today in the harvest month.
Soybeans, again, not a whole lot to say on the positive side on soybeans. Anybody that's watching the charts are looking at a bear flag formation. This last about 7 days, we've kind of been in a sideways to higher trend, and that's kind of developed a flag, upside-down flag, so we call it a bear flag. And the initial objective on a bear flag here is going to be down around this 844 area, so we're at 390, so there could be maybe upwards of another 50 cents risk. The super bears will probably take a look at a run down toward that Feb low that was put in place around the 784 area. So $8 is probably, you're going to have a lot of chart people that's looking at this bear flag formation. They're going to talk up the $8 level probably here over the next few days.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the afternoon?
I think that's probably enough bad news for today. wish everybody a good growing season. Well, at least we've got a good crop coming at us, especially after the tough time we had getting it started.
Indeed. Thanks much.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Thursday afternoon. If you'd like to hear what Dan had to say again, you can do it on our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can listen to it and other ag programming. Or you can simply dial this number. We'll update at 315. We'll put about 5 minutes of the analysis there and some of the numbers, too, at 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. We update that phone system at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day of the year.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Listening to the Closing Mark Report. It's a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Up next, we'll hear from Amy Rochkus and the Farm Bureau. She says it's time to weigh in on the Farm Bureau policy sessions.
Ever wonder what other farmers are thinking? Each year, the Illinois Farm Bureau begins its policy development process with ideas, suggestions, or proposals from its membership through the resolutions process. Policy begins with an idea or a thought of a Farm Bureau member at the county level. County Farm Bureaus submit their policy resolutions, which are then reviewed and recommended for policy debate at the Illinois Agricultural Association annual meeting in December. The 2009 Policy Resolutions Committee has just completed its first phase of work. Policy submittals from the counties were considered at the committee's meeting earlier in July. Farm Bureau policy is organized into three categories: state and local government, natural resources, and agricultural production and national issues. 63 policy resolutions were submitted and reviewed. Liz Hobart, Illinois Farm Bureau's Assistant Director of Information and Policy Development, says it's beneficial to know what farmers across the state are thinking. That is why it is so important for Farm Bureau members to get involved in the Farm Bureau policy development process. In July, the Resolutions Committee tackled rewriting Illinois Farm Bureau's policies on transportation and renewable fuels. In addition, to assist with the policy development process, discussion topics were selected to generate discussion amongst Farm Bureau members. These discussion topics will help generate ideas and thoughts to form better policy. Illinois Farm Bureau's weekly publication, Farm Week, will feature discussion topics on animal activism, climate change cap and trade, concealed carry, and premise registration in its August 3, 2009 issue. Farm Bureau members are encouraged to talk with their County Farm Bureau Board of Directors to submit issues that need to be discussed and considered as the resolutions and policy process continues. After all, the policies set today impact the way you farm and do business tomorrow. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochkus' comments are her own and reflect her opinions and not necessarily those of this station. If you'd like to voice your opinion, please give us a call. The number is 217-333-0850. That's 333-0850.
agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, up next, earlier in the week, I had a discussion with Mike Gray about what's been happening in the world of agricultural insects. Here's Mike with the update.
I think where we're at right now, Todd, we're entering a very important part in the growing season with regard to corn. As you look across the state of Illinois, we have corn in many stages of development because of the challenges we faced this spring at planting, but a lot of fields are now entering into that pollination period. So first and foremost, we have to make sure that that pollination is protected. Japanese beetle adults, western corn rootworm adults are increasingly being found in cornfields. When you begin to see three or more Japanese beetles per plant, five or more western corn rootworm beetles per plant. They're feeding on silks. We need to begin to make some management decisions. Now, the good news is a lot of our fields are in pretty good shape with respect to moisture. And we know that when we have plenty of soil moisture to work with, those silks can grow very rapidly. So don't get, you know, overreactive, too excited, and make a quick decision. Make sure you look at the level of silk protruding from that ear tip. In general, if you've got well over a half an inch of silk protruding from that ear tip, plenty of soil moisture to work with, usually you're still going to get a pretty good nick. That pollination is still going to be pretty effective. But I would urge producers to monitor for silk clipping. Keep in mind that Japanese beetles in particular tend to concentrate in border or in-row areas. While you may see lots of Japanese beetles in these areas, they may not be spread throughout the field. You might be able to get by with just some border or in-row treatments and save yourself some money potentially. Soybeans, we're beginning to hear of a few reports of soybean aphids showing up. They are off to a very slow start in Illinois this year and in other north central states as well. Where we are hearing of larger soybean aphid populations, they are way far to the north in eastern Ontario. There are densities up in that part of the world that are warranting treatment at this point. But monitor soybean fields for Japanese beetles, certainly. Look for defoliation. And watch in the coming weeks for soybean aphids. Cooler, milder temperatures will tend to promote soybean aphid densities increasing. Hotter conditions that we typically run into in late July, early August will tend to work against soybean aphids. But those are the primary insects at this point.
That was University of Illinois Extension entomologist Mike Gray. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast right here on the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
It's National Sugar Cookie Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1766, Jacob Perkins was born. Perkins was issued the first U.S. patent for a refrigerating machine. It used sulfuric ether compression. In 1792, S.L. Mitchell was named as the first professor of agriculture at Columbia College in New York City. In 1808, Samuel Parker patented the leather splitting machine. In 1815, the first natural gas well in the U.S. was discovered by accident near Charleston, West Virginia, while digging salt brine wells. In 1869, Henry Tibby invented the corncob pipe. By the way, the pipe was made from a special type of white kernel corn that was used to make taco and tortilla flour. In 1894, Percy LeBaron Spencer was born. Spencer developed the microwave oven in 1946 after he noticed that some chocolate in his pocket had melted. Spencer deduced the candy melted not due to body heat, but rather exposure to radiation from a magnetron tube. And in 1996, Douglas Chapman died. A Canadian-born U.S. mathematical statistician, Chapman did extensive research on fish farming, and he developed quantitative methods aiding in the management of fisheries. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Mike Sola is here with an update of the agricultural weather forecast.
Well, the growing area across most of the corn and soybean belt can expect some cooler than average temperatures. Now, there is plenty of soil moisture, so growing conditions will be favorable, but before the threat of frost shows up, and that could be as early as mid-September, more likely late September or early October. But well, we need to bring some heat into the area to really stimulate the growth of the crop out there. But as far as the reproduction season coming up for corn, and we should see favorable conditions for that as well. Precipitation, we have a cold front that has moved through and is bringing some pretty substantial rain right now across the Mid-South, the northeast corner of Arkansas, through northern Mississippi, and in through northern Alabama, western Tennessee. They're getting pretty good rains right now, and it does look like that system will move off to the east and across the area to our east and south over the next week or so. Above average precipitation is expected with the area from the eastern panhandle of Florida up through the eastern Carolinas receiving the highest likelihood of precipitation above average. There will be two areas that really start to see a lack of moisture. One has seen a continued lack of moisture. That would be the western states and in through some of the northwestern U.S. and the other area stretching from the Rio Grande Valley across Texas, and they have been woefully shy of precipitation there, and that area stretches all the way up into the western Great Lakes, bringing below average precipitation across most of Iowa, the northern half, northern two-thirds of Missouri, eastern Kansas, Oklahoma, and it starts to include portions of Illinois, especially west central and northern Illinois, and in through the northwest corner of Indiana. Okay, so those are the areas expecting below average precipitation, and it won't make a major impact in our area. Again, we do have ample soil moisture here, but there could be some problems, especially across areas to our east, across eastern Indiana and in through a good portion of Ohio. They've been a little bit shy of moisture, and interior portions, central Nebraska, Wisconsin, most of Wisconsin, Minnesota, they have seen a lack of moisture for this much of the growing season. So the lack of precipitation or the below average precipitation on the way there could also start to bring some scattered stress problems to the crop in that area. Across the plains, again, they're going to start to see a break from the extreme heat. Temperatures that have been triple digits for more than a week across Oklahoma, Texas, and surrounding areas. They have a cold front that will be heading in. It's already made its way through a portion of Oklahoma and the panhandle of Texas. So they're going to get a little bit of a break. Triple-digit temperatures will stick around today for portions of Oklahoma and Texas, and then start to give up towards a little closer to average, still maybe a little bit above average. Again, the Corn Belt, mostly dry weather, near to below normal temperatures, will continue across the area, and that looks to be the trend for much of the next week.
As weather forecaster Mike Sola from Illinois Public Media, I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon.